This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
And of course, we're not going to be traveling as much this holiday season. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go and see our loved ones. So that means e-commerce is going to be even more important in this shopping season because we're going to want to get our presents out to our friends and our family members. So that means that perhaps this year more than any other before, sellers really need to get organized both operationally and also with their marketing plans so they make sure that they're kind of capitalizing on this big season.
When you show items you're picking up and you have 30,000 people, you know, following your channel, it's going to translate. And I think that's really important. I've learned that this past year. I didn't even think about how much social media can promote you as an eBay seller. So I don't look at it like it's eBay's total job to promote me. I mean, I do pay the platform for the exposure that eBay affords me. But at the end of the day, I think it's partially my responsibility to drive traffic to my store also.
I'm Rebecca Michaels.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start and run and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. That would be eBay, of course. And this is episode 111. Good day, Rebecca.
Well, good day, my fine sir. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well, actually. It's been a wonderful week for many reasons.
Well, I personally can't believe that it's October already. I don't know where the time has gone.
It's incredible. It's a very different thing time during a pandemic, I think, for all of us.
I think that is very, very true. Although I have to admit, I love fall and coziness and leaves changing and all of those things. So I'm kind of feeling okay about October.
Yeah, and I love the light. The light in October to me is always magical. No matter where you are, it could be New England or California.
I think that's really true. And of course, it means that we're starting to really think about the holiday season, which also makes me happy. I love Thanksgiving, love Halloween, love Christmas. Even no matter what form it takes this year, I'm going to love the holidays.
Yeah. And of course, this is a special month when it comes to the podcast and themes. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
So speaking of which, who is on the roster for this week?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We have two guests this week, Rebecca. First up, Senior Manager of Small and Medium Business Seller Marketing and Engagement, Alexis Galvin, is here to help us kick off the October Holiday Marketing Month. And Alexis will walk us through what's in store for sellers during the month of October. And then I'll talk to eBay seller Karen C., the next eBay seller whose story was one of the ones from the 25 selected for the 25 Years of eBay series.
I've really been enjoying that series, Griff. So we also have a question or two to answer at the end, right?
Oh, yes, we do. And as always, we'll save those for the end of the episode. But first, it's the October Holiday Marketing Month kickoff. The month of October is Holiday Marketing Month here at eBay, a month dedicated to providing tactics, tips, and strategies for sellers to build their brands, expand their marketing, and capture the increase in traffic that comes as a result of the seasonal boost in buyer behavior. To help kick off the month, Alexis Galvin, our Senior Manager of Small and Medium Business Seller Marketing and Engagement, joins us to set the scene for the month ahead and to ground you in why your own branding and marketing is so important. Welcome, Alexis.
Hey, Griff. Thank you so much for having me on. I think this is my third episode, our third podcast appearance. I don't know if that earns me a keychain or what, but I am so happy to be here.
A keychain?
A t-shirt, a water bottle, something. I feel like third time is pretty significant. So,
how about a mug? I'll send you a mug.
Excellent. Deal. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so happy to be here. I mean, to say that this has been an interesting year, I think would be a massive understatement, right? And I think the holidays ahead are going to be no exception there. And we're going to see a lot of changes here. You know, a lot of small businesses are seeing impacts on their supply chains. We're all encountering some shipping delays. And then, of course, we're not going to be traveling as much this holiday season. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to go and see our loved ones. So that means e-commerce is going to be even more important in this shopping season because we're going to want to get our presents out to our friends and our family members. So that means that perhaps this year more than any other before, sellers really need to get organized both operationally and also with their marketing plans so they make sure that they're kind of capitalizing on this big season.
Now, I understand, I've been told at least, that you're a small business owner yourself.
I am indeed. Yep. I own an organic ice cream business, if you can believe that, in New York City. We got started back in 2007. And despite hurricanes and blackouts and cutthroat competition, and now, of course, a global pandemic, despite all that, I'm proud to say that we're still going strong. But I, you know, it's not been easy. So I have a really deep and sincere admiration for the small businesses out there who are just working so hard right now and always to kind of get through this tough time. And I'm just seeing them show up in such creative, bold ways to keep their businesses growing. So I applaud all of you guys out there. I know it's tough, but I'm with you. It's such a pleasure and such a privilege for me to kind of now be in this position at eBay working with small businesses, not just here in the US, but around the world, and helping them really realize the incredible opportunity that waits for them on eBay.
eBay does a lot of marketing throughout the year to attract buyers, Alexis, to the site, especially for the holidays. And we'll be hearing more on that from our CMO, Andrea Stairs, next week. But in the meantime, what kind of marketing options do sellers have to help drive traffic to their listings?
So I'd guess that, you know, most of the sellers listening out there are likely well-versed in the ways of marketing to customers already on eBay. They know how to optimize their listings to boost visibility. They probably know how to take great photos. And hopefully, most of them are taking advantage of special offers and promoted listings and all the other great marketing tools that are available to them on the platform. If you're not doing those things, take note. You should start them now. You know, we have a lot of sellers who rely 100% on those tactics alone to attract the buyers and really kind of build super successful eBay businesses. But I say, why stop there? We've got over 180 million shoppers already coming through eBay's doors. But of course, there are many millions more out there who haven't yet perhaps been fully introduced to the incredible value and selection that eBay has to offer. We really, really encourage all the sellers out there to market their listings outside of eBay too, and to kind of invite those shoppers in to experience what I like to call kind of the eBay magic. And to add an incentive to that, we found that if you connect with buyers off of eBay and inspire them to come and visit your listing, they're actually more likely to convert when they come to eBay because their purchase decision has already largely been made. Once they found that listing and kind of fell in love with your item, they've come to your store and now they're ready to buy it. This is two really, really important things. Number one, of course, it helps you in the short term by hopefully securing a sale that perhaps you wouldn't have otherwise had. And it introduces a new eBay shopper to all that we collectively have to offer. You know, I may be drawn in by your listing for a cool pair of sneakers, but once I'm in there, I might realize, oh, wow, I can get a new iPhone case for my daughter or a cool, rare trading card for my son or maybe even a nice cashmere sweater for my mom. The more all of us sellers do to bring more shoppers onto the platform, the more we all win. So bottom line, you've got two options. You could find your buyers on eBay, lots of opportunity there. Or if you really want to grow your business, you could optimize your traffic within eBay and pull in new buyers off the platform into your listing. It's your business, your plan. You can decide what works best for you.
Some of our sellers are following this advice already. A lot aren't. So they're asking that question. And I heard it so many times. Alexis, how does a business owner know where to even start or what's going to be best for their particular business?
It's not easy. You know, as being a small business owner, you have to be kind of all things to all people. And sometimes marketing kind of gets pushed to the back burner, but it's not smart. It's not going to help you grow. So you really need to kind of get clear on what your marketing plans are. Let's talk about where to start, because I know it can be daunting. Before kind of considering how to promote your business, you need to do a little bit of homework. So I would say first, identify what are your business goals at this point in time, and then kind of start to think about how a marketing strategy could help you achieve them. Some of the common goals that you might have are expanding an existing customer base. Maybe you want to drive more sales among your existing customers. Maybe you're trying out new inventory and you want to kind of see how that works and what the response from customers are. So depending on what those goals are, then you can kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out, all right, how do I actually kind of, you know, achieve that goal through a marketing strategy?
Right. And before we get into those specific marketing strategies and tactics, though, let's talk for just a minute about branding. We hear a lot about it these days, Alexis. And what does branding mean exactly to an eBay seller? And what's the difference between a brand and a business?
I'm going to answer your last question first. So the difference between your brand and your business is that the business is clearly the operational entity that produces and or sells your products. But the brand is something a little bit deeper. It's really about the identity or the personality of your business. Nike, for example, is a business that obviously produces and sells sports apparel. But when we think about that business, we're likely to think more about strength and empowerment and cool design and all this kind of really cool kind of lifestyle elements to it. Which are all, of course, part of its brand. So we're not thinking about supply chains and distribution channels, right? So the brand is what really makes them meaningful and memorable in our lives. The question that every small business owner has to ask him or herself is, what comes to mind when consumers think of my business? What does it inspire those people to do or to think or to feel? You really want to kind of move them and make your business memorable to them. And in order to market your business effectively, you really have to have a compelling answer to those questions. You have to have a compelling brand, especially in a time like the holiday shopping season, when you'll have a lot of retailers vying for those eyeballs and dollars.
That competition can be fierce, especially this time of year.
That's exactly right. You know, and your brand is your opportunity to stand out from the crowd, to communicate what makes your business so special, and to give buyers the sense that they're getting both a great product and a great experience and a great story when they shop with you. That's what people want these days.
That's what I want when I'm shopping.
Exactly. And sometimes small businesses can't compete on price, and that's okay. You have to use your brand as your superpower in a way, you know, especially in a digital marketplace where people don't have the chance to kind of come into your shop and kind of talk to you and kind of build a relationship that way. So you really kind of have to project that story and that personality virtually.
Just this morning, I was looking for a specific product. I ended up going with the seller who was slightly more expensive because I felt they presented their brand in a way that guaranteed me a better experience overall. So I love that point about not just competing on price.
Absolutely. And I don't think you're alone there, Griff. I think that not only does a really strong brand tell a great story, but also it helps really inspire trust in your shoppers. And this is so important in e-commerce because they don't have that relationship. They can't bring that item back to the store and have a conversation with you about it. So they want that assurance that they're buying from a legitimate, reputable business who's going to deliver a great product and really stand behind it with great customer service. Your brand can absolutely help them feel more comfortable spending their money with you. And then when you deliver that great experience, they're going to come back for more. And that's where all the growth happens, right?
Exactly. But, you know, acknowledging that many eBay sellers, well, they might not have a big marketing budget like a big company, or they may not have a team that is devoted to deep marketing expertise. What are some simple but effective steps those small sellers can take to build and deliver a strong brand?
Yeah, this is the million-dollar question, because people think, oh, to have this kind of really effective marketing strategy, I need to have those deep pockets and that deep expertise. But the good news is that's actually not true, especially not today. All you really need to do is be thoughtful, be authentic, you know, be true to who you are, and hopefully just a little bit creative. To actually kind of get into the tactics here, ask yourself, what does my business stand for? You know, what's the personality of my business? What do I want people to think or feel when my business comes to mind? It doesn't matter whether you sell high-end fashion or even refurbished car parts. It really doesn't matter. You can find a great answer to this question that's truly unique to your business. It's almost like your, you know, business's fingerprint. It's unique to every single business. Once you've got that established, then you need to communicate it. You got to sing it from every mountaintop you can climb and be really consistent about that messaging across all of your marketing assets and your customer touch points. So consistency is absolutely key. Then let's think about what this means in terms of your eBay store. Starting with your eBay store, look at your eBay business name and your URL. Look at your banner design, your logo, and your business description. Do all of those things tell the brand story that you want to tell? You know, when someone visits your store, can they really quickly and effectively get a sense of who you are as a business and feel good about shopping with you? And if the answer is no, then maybe it's time to make some improvements there.
You may want to ask somebody else to take a look at the store and your branding as opposed to just yourself.
That's a great idea. Absolutely. Because sometimes it's hard to be objective with our own business, with our own baby, right? So it's helpful to get kind of an outside perspective.
It's hard to admit you have an ugly baby.
No one does. I don't think anyone can see that. Although there are some ugly babies out there. Let's be real.
Yeah.
And then once you've actually kind of taken a look at the aesthetics of your brand, you also have to take a hard look at your customer service practices, because that also communicates who you are as a business and as a brand. Are your policies and communications aligned with your brand? You know, again, they're not visual cues like your logo, but things like your shipping and returns policies or your responses to inquiries or complaints even. All of those other customer touch points, they really loudly and clearly kind of communicate your brand and can be absolutely critical in building that trust you need to have with your customers. And also your products, take a look at those too. You know, what you sell and don't sell, you know, your pricing, your promotions, all of those elements factor into the value that customers expect and perceive from your business. Choose those products carefully and make sure they contribute to your brand in a really positive way. And then the final thing I'd say on this question is that off eBay, you should be delivering that exact same brand message in the same voice with the same aesthetic. You know, this applies to your social media posts, any marketing emails you send out to customers, any promotional materials you produce. You know, it's just really, it's so important to be consistent and let your brand really shine through across all of those different channels.
Yeah, that's always flummoxed me when I've seen a seller who has a pretty strong brand presence on eBay. And then when you look at their, for example, social media presence, none of that carries over. And it's hard to make that connection.
It's hard. And, you know, people are very savvy. They're going to look at your Facebook page. They're going to look maybe even on Twitter, or they're going to look for you on YouTube. You know, they really want to see who you are. And because they can't meet you in person, like I mentioned earlier, they need to use these kind of virtual channels to kind of get a sense. It's so, so important that you keep that visibility in mind and maintain that consistency throughout.
Are there any bigger consideration besides these micro tactics that we've been talking about that an eBay seller should keep in mind?
Yeah. So I just mentioned kind of the audience before. It's so important that you really know your audience so that you can speak to them in an authentic way that's really going to resonate with them. Understand those guys, you know, understand your target customers. And in the process, you can really better address their needs. How do you do that? Well, engage with them. Engage with them where they are. You know, if they're following you on Facebook, ask questions, prompt engagement, prompt, you know, involvement, and encourage people to share and to respond. Same with your eBay messaging. Ask for and read reviews. Feedback is a gift, as they say, right? So sometimes it may not always be what you want to hear, but there's a lot of learning potential in there. And also, I'd say research the market and the competitors and conduct customer interviews or surveys. This is going to help you really sharpen your marketing in ways that A, speak directly to your buyer's needs, and B, really differentiate you from the competition. You know, if you're offering something that people want and aren't finding elsewhere, you really need to capitalize on that advantage.
Yeah. I see so many people that just put up a social media presence and never engage.
Yeah, big missed opportunity there. You can't do that. People are human. These are digital tools, but the people using them are still human. And especially at a time like now when we're all separated, you know, physically, we still really want that connection. Give that to them. Help them feel like a real connection to your business, to your brand. And if you don't do this, the problem is you run the risk of delivering kind of a disjointed experience, which may jeopardize the trust and loyalty that you've worked so hard to build with your customers. So on eBay, really make sure that the look and the feel of your store and your item photography and your listing descriptions and your shipping and return policies and your customer communications, all of that good stuff, you know, make sure all of it matches your brand's tone and voice and values overall. And then lastly, and this is another really critical piece with e-commerce, you really need to build credibility. And you can do that by sharing your knowledge and educating your customers as they make their buying decisions. And you can do this through a traditional blog or maybe some videos on YouTube. You could write industry articles, or it's something as simple as responding really fully and thoughtfully to customer inquiries. You know, when they write with a question, maybe expand on it a little bit and give them more information, because the more information they have, the more confident they're going to feel in buying from you, because they're going to feel like you really know your stuff and you're a great source for this product that they're looking for.
Yeah, a one word or one phrase answer isn't going to work most of the time.
No, you feel like, who was that? Is that a machine that responded to me or a real person? You know, we all want that kind of response and support. And so we need to offer it in return.
For sellers who want to be a little bit more aggressive in their marketing and work to really bring customers outside of eBay to their listings, what can they do to help make this happen?
Well, it's not going to surprise anyone that the number one thing I'll say to this is social media marketing.
Yeah.
Just it's where it's at right now. That's where people are. And of course, you have to meet people where they are if you want to actually engage and kind of bring them over to your listing. And the good news about social media marketing is that it's super, super cost effective. We're in this kind of golden era of social media. Back in the day, advertising was kind of limited to the Madison Avenue types, you know, these big businesses with slick budgets. And unfortunately for all of us small businesses out here, like, those days are gone. Like, people want to see user-generated content. They want to see content that's authentic and real and relatable. And that means it's cheap. All you have to do is be yourself. So give it a try. There's organic social media, which is just the stuff that you would post, for example, you know, on your Facebook page. Then if you want to get a little bit more aggressive, you could put some money behind a paid marketing campaign. But even that can be super affordable. You can tailor it to your goals and your budget. I'd say Facebook and Instagram are really easy places to start. They're super user-friendly, and they work super well for a wide variety of businesses and product types. So definitely, if you're not on there, you got to get with the program and start today. And then YouTube and Pinterest are also great marketing tools if you have the right products and skill sets to make the most of those platforms.
Each one of those is a little different. So if you're not using them, it really pays to spend some time on them and reading and researching to see how people interact a little bit differently for each one of those channels. Alexis, Audrey, and Kirsty did a really good podcast segment with us a few months back for Traffic Month. I'm going to refer to this in the resources so that if you're listening to this, I'll put the link directly to that podcast so that you can listen to it. What about email marketing? Is that still pertinent? Is it still relevant today?
Definitely. That's a channel worth exploring for small businesses out there. And it's another way you can kind of cut through the promotional noise and directly engage your buyers. I mean, these are folks who have either purchased from you before, or maybe they've signed up on your website because they want to stay informed. So these folks are hungry for your message. They're hungry for your product. By sending timely, helpful emails with practical information these customers probably want or need, you could really maintain that interest and drive repeat purchases, which is so key. And to do that, all you need to basically do is build that list. And then most folks want or choose to use a software tool like a MailChimp because that can really, really cut down time and effort by helping you organize your list, design, you know, and schedule your emails and manage the subscriptions. And then you just got to build out the content. So you got to make it really succinct, of course, because people don't have a lot of time these days. And one really kind of a pro tip is to offer special discounts for your subscribers to really entice them to kind of keep reading and to stay on your mailing list.
Yeah, that always works.
Yeah. And then finally, this is a little thing, but it's also a big thing at the same time. You know, don't forget the special touches. Things like nice packaging, you know, a little thank you note in the package. Those things can go a long way. I don't know about you, Griff, but my mom was a big proponent of the thank you note, and that's kind of stayed with me as an adult. So whether I'm selling on eBay or showing my appreciation for a nice birthday gift, I always send a thank you note. And I think it's a great touch for small businesses as well.
Before we go, do you have any final pieces of advice you'd like to offer our sellers?
First of all, just don't be afraid to try stuff out. Nothing disastrous is going to happen. So try different platforms, different content types, different kind of campaigns, and just watch and see what works and what doesn't. But whatever you do, as you kind of go through that experimentation, keep in mind that measurement is really, really important. So you want to tie any marketing activity to a specific outcome that you can measure, like impressions, page views, number of followers, or sales. It's really, really critical that you understand the data behind all of this and use that data to your advantage to really kind of sharpen your marketing strategy and make it even more impactful for your business.
I want to thank you, Alexis, for helping us kick off Holiday Marketing Month. Hey, while I have you here, why don't you give us a preview? I usually do this, but you do. Ooh. Why don't you give us a preview of what's to come for the rest of Holiday Marketing Month?
This is part of my gift of being a third time podcast guest.
Yeah, I'm going to make you a host.
Awesome. So next week, we got an awesome topic coming up. We're going to be looking at what marketing eBay is doing this holiday season to help drive shoppers onto the platform and hopefully to your listings. The following week, we'll be talking about on-site eBay marketing tactics. So things like promoted listings, promotions manager, multi-quantity, offers to buyers, all of that great stuff. If you're not engaging in those kinds of tactics yet, you need to start. And then the final week, we're going to focus on some more off-site marketing tactics to drive velocity to your eBay listings and to build your brand. So everything from Google Shopping, eBay Partner Network, which is really cool. And again, social media marketing, because it's just that important.
We'll focus on all of those topics in the coming weeks. Thanks, Alexis. I really appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Griff. Love being here.
Alexis Gallivan is Senior Manager of Small and Medium Business Seller Marketing and Engagement at eBay. As always, we'll put links to any of these resources we've mentioned in this segment in our episode transcript. Just go to www.ebay.com/podcast and look for episode 111, that's 111, and click on the link for transcript. Our next seller, whose story was selected for the 25 Stories series, sells what she calls vintage hard goods under the user ID Lavender Clothesline. Now, I think I know what vintage hard goods means, but I'm going to have to find out from the horse's mouth. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Griff.
So what do you mean by vintage hard goods?
Well, I think out in the real world, vintage is anything over 30 years old.
Okay.
But I believe online, the definition has been changed a little. Not sure which platform changed it, but it's my understanding it's 20 years and newer.
So if you've listened to the...
20 years and older, sorry.
Okay. So if you've listened to the old eBay radio show, I have definite opinions about the word vintage, but we'll leave that alone because it's so confusing as to what it means for so many people. But the hard goods part, that's what I'm curious about. What do you mean by hard goods?
You know, I heard that term before I even understood what it was. And for me, it's pretty much anything that is not clothing or made out of cloth.
We're not talking about vintage, quote unquote, fashion or clothing or anything that's like maybe a quilt or textiles of any sort.
I kind of mix it up. I don't really sell or describe with really hard, fast rules, but generally anything that's not made of cloth is a hard good.
And if you want to see exactly what Karen sells, again, her user ID, because people love to go visit a seller's store while they're listing. If they're not driving, if you're driving, do not go and look at her store. Wait till you get home.
Exactly.
It's Lavender Clothesline. That's all one word. Why lavender, Karen?
You know, Griff, when I first started selling on eBay, I never envisioned that it would be such a wonderful journey. And I chose Lavender Clothesline on a whim. Within like 5 or 10 minutes, I said, oh, I need a user ID. And I started out selling women's clothing. So I thought lavender sounded fresh. It was no more thought than that.
And that's the clothesline part too.
Correct.
And when was this? What year did you start selling on eBay?
I opened my account in 2009 as a buyer, and then I started selling October 2013.
Wow.
I remember the day.
You do? What was special about that date?
I was making a move from Long Island, New York. That's where I was living. And I was moving to Pennsylvania, and I was looking for something to do to earn income and still be able to travel back and forth because I was moving a fairly large house. And I remember the day that I spoke with my daughter, who is also a seller on eBay. She's Fresh Bloomin' Clothing. And she said, hey, why don't you try selling on eBay? And I said, okay, that sounds great. If you'll answer my questions, I'm in. And I was off like a shot. I remember the exact moment I decided to do it.
Wait a minute. I got to get this straight. You actually were in the middle of a move and you decided to take on the task of selling on eBay?
Pretty much. Yes.
Karen, can I ask you a personal question? Are you crazy?
I am. Makes life very interesting.
Well, the only reason I ask, of course, I'm not serious, but maybe I am. I don't know. But the reason why I ask is because a move is such a traumatic, all-encompassing endeavor. And then to add on top of that, starting to sell on eBay, you are one adventuresome woman.
You know, Griff, I think life is pretty much what you choose it to be. I mean, there's things we can't control, but I kind of look at life as an adventure. So to me, it didn't seem like something daunting. I was just going to take it all in one step at a time and just treat it like an adventure. And it has absolutely been that. It's been great.
Describe for me what happened that first, I won't just say the first day, but that first listing and selling experience. Number one, where did you get the things to sell?
Well, I called eBay first of all, and I explained to them that I really wanted to jump in, you know, full force. I didn't want to be a hobby or casual seller. And I don't remember how many listings they gave me. They did listen to what I wanted to do. They knew I was serious. And they gave me a few more listings than what they normally give a new buyer. And that next morning, I went to a thrift store and bought, I believe it was 100 items, and came home and listed them.
Wait a minute.
I was on it.
Your first experience was you listed 100 items?
I did.
Wait a minute. You took the photos and wrote the descriptions, researched, and got everything up?
I did.
All right. You're a goddess.
I did. I'm just crazy. But it was great fun. I just look at it like there was so much to learn. You know, as you're out in the wild, as I call it, there is so much treasure, especially here in the United States.
Yeah.
Items that people just want to get rid of. And I am more than happy to take it off their hands and learn about the items and sell them.
How long did it take to list 100 items? Do you recall?
A long time, because I really wanted my listings to be perfect. So I was describing things in full paragraphs. I didn't understand that a buyer didn't really want to read a story about every item.
Well, some buyers actually do, but most buyers, yeah, they just want to buy the item.
Yeah, they want the pertinent information, but I don't know that they want, you know, you can wear this jean jacket to a party. They don't need the whole story. They just need the specifics.
So I assume your listings today are not as verbose.
That's true.
It's good. Yes. Okay, so you started listing 100 items. I'm still can't wrap my head around that, but okay. Even back in the old eBay University days, I used to advise people to list one item and then see how it goes. So you're listing 100 items. When did they start selling?
I remember waiting for that first sale, and I'm going to say my first sale probably happened within 7 to 10 days.
Were these auction or fixed price listings?
I believe they were fixed price. You know, I don't even remember. Some of it's a blur. because, like I said, I was just buying bins and packaging materials and figuring out shipping labels. So
you were right into it.
I was.
You're taking photographs of these items. Where are you taking the pictures?
At that time, I was living in the house on Long Island. That's where I started selling. And it was just an empty bedroom. My son had moved. He had gone off to college. So I took over his bedroom. And I was also taking photos anywhere where the sun was, where things could be well lit.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I had any lighting yet or anything. It was just me, a camera. I don't even know if I had a mannequin. I was determined.
So do you remember the first thing that you sold?
I don't. I think it was a piece of clothing. I'm going to say it was clothing because that's what I was selling.
Do you remember how you felt for your first sale?
Oh, elated.
Yeah.
I just thought there was no limits after that.
So you went out and you bought another 100 items.
Probably.
Yeah. So that is something I think a lot of us share in our experience, that it's a lot of fun to buy. I'm assuming you enjoy buying.
I love it. I'm finishing up my 7th year on eBay and it's still as exciting as that first day. I have not lost the love for it. Because when you go out and you're a reseller and you look for items for resale, it's like a treasure hunt. You never know what you're going to come across. You know, now I'm selling everything. I make a joke of it. The only thing I don't sell are cars, boats, and illegal items. Everything else is fair game with me.
Would you consider selling a car or a boat if offered?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
There you go. That's true entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And kudos on not selling the illegal stuff. Doesn't work out well.
No.
Are you like me and a lot of other sellers that every time you drive by a thrift store, you feel something pulling you into the parking lot?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I stop for every yard sale, every estate sale, every auction. I am on it.
Yeah. So how has that changed since the pandemic started?
You know, when the pandemic came along and I realized that this was something that was probably going to be with us for a while, I had to rethink what I was doing because, you know, you couldn't go out and source. Most of my sources, you know, were unavailable, but I still had a few opportunities. I buy private closets. So when people either change careers or they just have too much, sometimes they will give me a call. So I was able to do that a few times. I pretty much did that. Now, I didn't list as much as I normally list. So my inventory number did drop during COVID before the stores opened. But I really, financially, my stores did better.
So your sales went up?
My sales went up, yes.
What do you attribute that rise in sales to?
Definitely buyers being online more people being home and shopping. Everybody's heard of eBay, so even if they had never really shopped on eBay, I think an unfortunate world event really opened up the opportunity to gain more watchers and more buyers for the online seller on eBay.
So it's been a 9-year eBay journey for you since you listed those first 100 items. Do you still have any of those in your inventory? Have they all turned over?
Oh, they've all turned over.
Okay, good. Because I got to tell you, I have items listed for sale. There's a few shirts that I think I listed in 2013, so not doing so well.
You have to drop that price.
No, I have to drop the inventory. No one wants it. Things go in and out of style. It's funny the way that some things just, they cease being hot. Have you found that, by the way, even though you've moved out of clothing, that there are trends that determine what you're going to list and what you're going to take down or what you're going to adjust prices based on buyer activity?
Well, let me just say right now, I have about 3,200 active listings, and I'm going to say still about 2,000 of those are clothing items.
Oh, I see.
So I still very much sell clothing is predominant in my store, but I am a person that looks for quality over everything else. That's my number one criteria. When I buy something, the label or the brand or what's on trend is secondary to me. And I think that the buyer nowadays is really educated. They're a lot more educated than they used to be because we all are shopping online where a lot of times you can't tell exactly what you're buying. You can't feel the material. For me, quality has always been the number one criteria, and that has served me well.
So when you're looking at clothing, for example, what determines quality? Is it build? Is it materials? Is it design? Or all three?
All three, yeah. The workmanship of the item. Because a lot of times the items that instant fashion nowadays are really poorly constructed. And, you know, you wash them 3 or 4 times and the item is done. I'm looking for items that the workmanship is there. The cut of the item and the quality of the material. Absolutely.
If you were having to give advice to an eBay seller who was just starting out like you, What would be your first, second, and third piece of advice?
I think the advice that I give, recently I shared with a group of new sellers, and I said, the three things that I want to share are just put a listing up, find something in your house. And that's common advice. Don't go out and buy 100 things at the thrift store.
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, exactly. Find something in your home and list that. Number two, don't be afraid. Just jump in and give it a try. If you're just going to list a few items, the sky's the limit. So to really have courage and give it a go. And number three, do not shop and not list. I always say that selling on eBay is not buying, it's selling. So I know a lot of people get caught up in sourcing and they all say, oh, I love thrifting. I love yard selling. And that's fun if it's a hobby. But if you're going to be a serious seller and want to make profit, you have to get those items listed.
And that takes discipline.
It does.
Yeah. Although listing can be rewarding, for most of us, it's definitely not as much fun as shopping.
Exactly.
But if you want to hear that ka-ching on your phone, that's the best piece of advice. You've got to be disciplined and list on a regular basis.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's talk about you now, because you started out with 100 listings. You just mentioned you've got 3,200 listings up. Do you manage this entire business on eBay by yourself?
I'm going to say 95% of it I do. Right now, I have my middle daughter. She owns a landscaping business, but she stops in once a week to give me 5 hours of her time. You know, I pay her, of course, and she helps photograph because I'm bringing great quantities into my home.
Yeah.
So on any given week, I'm bringing in hundreds of items.
And your items aren't what we called SKU. They're not hundreds Correct. Of the same item. So you have to take Correct. Photos for each individual listing.
Almost all one-ofs, yes.
What's your setup like?
That's an interesting story. So talk about crazy. The house that I bought for eBay. When I moved to Pennsylvania in 2014, I think it was, I started looking at houses. And if I had not had a career selling on eBay, I probably would have bought like a townhouse or something like that. But knowing that I wanted to keep the business in-house, I bought the house that I'm presently in for selling on eBay. So I have a 1,400 square foot basement that's almost all entirely eBay inventory. And then on the ground floor, it's a ranch house. I have three rooms dedicated for selling and for YouTube. I'm a YouTube creator now, and I share about selling on eBay.
You do. What is your YouTube channel?
Lavender Clothesline.
All right. So is it okay if we promote that?
Absolutely. So I'm Lavender Clothesline on eBay first, and then Instagram, and then YouTube this past year. I jumped into YouTube a little over a year ago.
How's that working out for you? Are you enjoying it?
Amazing. And you know, I have to give credit to eBay, my eBay experience, for that happening. I never would have thought of being a YouTube creator. I really didn't have anything in my personal life to share that was interesting. But I think other people really wanted to hear the story of a woman who's older. I'm going to be 60 this year, and how I fully support myself selling on eBay. Yeah, so I jumped onto YouTube in May of 2019, and in 1 month, I was monetized, which I think is unheard of in the YouTube community. I didn't even understand what it meant. I just started making videos with my phone and said, hey guys, this is the house I bought to sell eBay out of. And almost a month to the day, I got my first payment from Google AdSense.
So your subscriber base and your hits were really rising.
Yes, I have 30,000 people following me on YouTube.
Oh my heavens.
A very short amount of time.
I'm talking to a celebrity. I'm humbled.
It's not a celebrity status. It's crazy status. That's what it is.
And you have to be disciplined enough to make time to keep that channel updated, even though I'm sure it's fun to do. But on top of selling and listing on eBay, you're also running a YouTube channel.
Yes.
What's the strategy behind the content that you provide on the YouTube channel? Do you talk about things that have just happened, or do you focus in on the details of selling?
I so appreciate that you think after all of this conversation, you think I have a strategy.
No, well, you may and you don't even know it.
I just really like connecting with other people and talking like-minded and encouraging other people that might be thinking of selling on eBay. And that's my premise. I go out and I film where I'm shopping as much as I can without filming other people. I'm really, you know, respectful of that. And I also have haul videos to show everybody the crazy stuff I'm finding and picking up. And then I report back on Instagram what items are selling for. I think I've kind of gained a reputation of being like a crazy but very successful eBay seller.
One of the things I meant by strategy is, do you think this has helped you pick up some buyers and make sales?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because when I started YouTube, you know, I hadn't really looked at how many followers I had on my eBay platform, but I think it was under 100, and now I have 6,500 followers on eBay. Now, not all of that converts to buyers, but I think it does, because when you show items you're picking up and you have 30,000 people following your channel, it's going to translate. And I think that's really important. I've learned that this past year. I didn't even think about how much social media can promote you as an eBay seller. So I don't look at it like it's eBay's total job to promote me. I mean, I do pay the platform for the exposure that eBay affords me. But at the end of the day, I think it's partially my responsibility to drive traffic to my store also.
You started back in 2009, 2010. But this,
I was a buyer back then.
You were a buyer.
I started selling in 2013.
2013, okay.
Yes.
So prior to 2013, what did you do? What was your career? What was your life before eBay?
I have had quite a few jobs, I'm going to say, but right before eBay, I was managing a fitness studio in West Hampton, and primarily it was a spin studio. So people came in to cycle, and I managed that studio.
And what did you do before that? It sounds like I'm interviewing you for a job.
Well, years ago, I was married and we had a business. So I ran the office part of it, office management. I've also been in retail. And way back, I homeschooled my three kids to high school graduation.
Oh, that's a big chore in and of itself. But you do have some experience as a business person.
Well.
if you managed.
A little bit. Yeah.
Did that experience play a part in the success and running of your business on eBay?
I don't think so, truthfully. Oh. You know, that was, you know, me just keeping track of the customer base and corresponding with them. It was a lot of phone, you know, because we had a high-end clientele. It was out in the Hamptons, Long Island. We wanted to provide really good customer service. Maybe the importance of customer service probably carried over to how important it is even online, even more so.
Sure, that's a big part of your business today. But what is your customer service mantra for your business on eBay?
I think to really provide an experience for the buyer, because we all sell things sooner or later that might have a problem, even now with shipping being a little bit off, but to correspond with the buyer. And at the end of the day, I want their experience to be good. If something goes amiss or something is a problem on my part, I really want to make it right for them. So I try to really compensate them, not only for, you know, and give them a refund, but to try to make it right, you know, so that they want to come back and shop.
Karen, is there anything that you'd like to add while you have the ear of thousands of eBay sellers? I'm not sure we have 30,000 subscribers like you do.
I think the one thing that I'd like to share with people is to encourage them that in uncertain financial times, wherever you are in life, there's so many of us that could use a little extra income, to not be afraid, just to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and put a few listings on. And once you get your feet wet, we're all still learning. I mean, I've been selling, you know, 7 years and I'm still learning. So it's not like we ever, you know, become experts at this. I don't look at it that way. If I can encourage just a few other people to just give it a try and, you know, you really don't have anything to lose.
You really don't have anything to lose.
Correct.
Take Karen's advice. If you're thinking about raising a little income, who knows what could happen? Start listing on eBay. Find a few things in your inventory, list them, and who knows, you could be setting out on a journey that ends up with a very successful business like Karen's. Karen, I want to thank you so much for taking time and telling us your story. It's been really a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Griff, and happy anniversary to eBay. 25 years, just amazing.
It is. It went by very quickly. Karen sells online under the user ID Lavender Clothesline. I will put up links to both her eBay store and her YouTube channel. Oh, and I almost forgot, her Instagram channel too. Check her out. You'll be inspired to start listing or to list more. And listing is the name of the game. It's time for You Have Questions, We Have Answers.
At least we hope we have answers. So what's on deck for this week, Griff?
Well, Rebecca, this week we have one question and one correction to a previous answer we gave. Let's deal with the correction first, okay?
Wait a second. So we have to correct something that you said, Griff? I don't believe it.
Yeah, right. Well, it was a while ago, too, because it was over a month ago. In the merry month of August, we had a question about sending offers to buyers. It was way back in episode 104 on August 18th. Way back. But you can always send an offer to a watcher by checking your active listings page in eBay on a browser, on a desktop, or a laptop. Any listing with at least one watcher will always have the option for you to send that watcher an offer. An offer.
I mean, that sounded like the right answer to me, Griff.
Well, yes, it did at the time, but eagle-eared regular podcast listener Trader Don pointed out in an email that it isn't the case that you can always send offers to watchers. There are, in fact, some disqualifiers. Here's what he wrote us. In fact, why don't you read what he wrote us?
So he says, I just wanted to clarify something that came up in the segment when Griff was answering a question regarding offers to buyers. Griff said, any listing with at least one watcher will always have the option for you to send that watcher an offer on fixed price listings. Don goes on to say, I just wanted to point out that this is technically incorrect or, you know, at least muddy. Recently, I sorted my inventory by watchers and verified that nearly 600 listings had a watcher. Over half of these had just one single watcher. And yet in reality, I only had the ability to send offers to 74 of those potential buyers. The additional circumstance that may be hindering this potential offer count is that the communication settings for many of these watchers may have voluntarily opted them out of receiving extraneous notifications from eBay. Possibly taking that into account, the remainder are eligible and do come up as open for offers. That would mean in my above circumstance, only about 12% of my watchers have opted into receiving offers to buyers.
Trader Don pointed this out a week after the podcast, and it's taken us till now to hunt down a verification. Thanks for your patience, Trader Don.
Griff, so what is the actual answer?
The actual answer comes from our good friend and product, David Bernstein. In brief, in order for a buyer to receive a seller-initiated offer, a few conditions have to be met beforehand. Now, I'm going to list them off. These conditions are they're watching your item, or they've had the item in their shopping cart for a period of time, if they're not watchers, or they've viewed your listing multiple times. Now, those are the ifs. So if they're watching the item, or they had the item in shopping cart for a period of time, or they viewed your listing multiple times.
So essentially, they've demonstrated interest in the item.
Right. They also okay. have to be a buyer in good standing on eBay. So if their status with eBay is questionable, they may not receive the offer. Now, the next two are important, because regardless of those first three, the other qualification is they haven't received an offer from you for the same listing previously. So if you've already sent them an offer for this item, they're not going to get the second one. It's not going to show as eligible. And then it is possible if the buyer has opted out of receiving seller offers in their buyer communication setting, you won't be able to send them that offer. Now, David and Harry have also told us that they're working on making this clearer on the active listings page. If you select one or more listings with watchers and you send those watchers offers, it is possible that some of the offers will not be sent if one or more of the conditions I've just listed isn't met. I would say the most likely conditions not met would be that the watcher has already received an offer from you on the item in question, or the watching buyer has previously opted out of receiving offers.
You know, it's funny. I wonder why a buyer would opt out of receiving an offer, because I personally love those offers. It's a great chance to buy something that you want at a great price.
I know. It's a mystery to me. I love getting offers. Are you kidding? It makes me spend. Go figure. Anyway, that's the complete and correct answer. Thank you, Trader Don.
Definitely. Thank you. All right, so let's move on to the next question.
Oh, yes, the other question I nearly forgot. Well, the other question comes from seller Rob's Toy Shop in the UK. Rob asks us about, well, why don't you read it?
Sure. UK seller Rob's Toy Shop writes, I have recently moved to manage payments, and my payment for a label was set up to come directly from PayPal. How do I change it to come out of my pending or available managed payments pot? At the moment, I'm having to transfer money to PayPal to cover it. Thanks for the great show. It's really entertaining and useful, even for a UK seller. Cheers from Rob, Rob's Toy Shop. Cheers back, Rob.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Thanks, Rob. Rebecca, I think you might have the answer to this one.
I think I got this one, Griff. So I did have to do some research first, but word is, At the moment, for sellers in the UK, it's actually not possible to change the shipping label funding source to pending funds. That's the word from the managed payments team. And we don't have any info on if and when the ability for UK sellers to fund shipping labels from pending might happen. But I guess all we can say here is stay tuned. And we've definitely shared the feedback with the managed payments team that that's something UK sellers would like to have.
Yes. And they're aware of it. And they couldn't commit to anything. But you know, eventually, someday, it'll happen. Stay tuned.
It will. Right? Yeah. So,
as my favorite TV comedian says, such fun. So...
Well, I guess that's all the questions. So all that's left to say is if you want to join in the fun here on eBay for Business podcast, call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. Leave a question or a comment and we just might put it on the air.
And if you are not a call on the phone person like me, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Podcast@ebay.com. Oh, by the way, it's time. Don't forget your weekly eBay for Business podcast to-do list.
First, check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Second, start working on your own marketing plan for the upcoming holiday season.
And third, check out the transcript for this and all episodes to follow up on what you've heard and to see the links that we referenced during the episode.
Now, on our next episode, we'll talk with eBay CMO of North America, Andrea Stairs, about what eBay's doing this year to drive buyers to the site during the holiday shopping season. And our next 25 years of eBay seller, Chris Marshall, will join us to share his eBay story. Oh, and this is a good one. Brian Burke and I will answer a called-in question about the inventory tool in Seller Hub.
Sounds really great. I'll definitely tune in, Griff. And in the meantime, we'd like to thank again our guests for this week. Senior Manager of Small and Medium Business, Seller Marketing and Engagement, Alexis Galavan, and eBay seller, Karen C.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.